May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please be seated. Yesterday, I was in the cathedral for the ordinations. New priests and new deacons. Bill Mills, who read the second reading, was there with us in his role as lay chair of the Anglican churches in this particular area. And I don't know if anyone else was there, but it completely changed this morning's sermon. I had something that I was going to say, and there was something that the preacher said in the cathedral yesterday, specifically, I suppose, to those new people, both young and old, men and women, who are going to be serving as priests and deacons in the Church of England. He had something to say to them that I think I wanted to actually say to us as well. So I've kind of nicked the sermon, really. Sorry about that. A pre-loved service. He quoted, actually, from a different sermon that he'd heard. So actually, it's really pre-loved, this one. This is like third hand. Somebody else who'd preached this. And that preacher had noted that in Shakespeare's play Hamlet, Ophelia, speaking to her brother Laertes, speaks of herbs, different kinds of herbs that have meaning. And in symbolic meaning, and in particular, in this particular moment, she speaks of rosemary, the herb rosemary. You know, that lovely smell when you crush those petals and smell rosemary. She says this, there's rosemary. That's for remembrance. Pray, love, remember. There's rosemary. That's for remembrance. Pray, love, remember. It's pretty obvious how those words might relate to a priest's role. Of course, we do pray. We try to love. And we're all about remembering what Christ has done for us. That's what we do in our communion service and as we preach. But it struck me that it's not just priests who need to hear those words and practice a kind of spiritual discipline, I would think. It's praying and loving and remembering. The word remembering is really interesting in the English language because actually, literally what it means is bringing things together that have been split apart. Right, your members of your body, your limbs and your legs are members of your body. And remembering is about taking those members and bringing them back together so that there's a coherence. It's really easy for us to get so focused on task that we forget all the other things that are also important around that task. We split our day up into bits of time on our calendars and seem to forget sometimes what that's all for. Why are we doing what we're doing, for goodness sake? What was the point of it all? And it's about remembering, is about bringing that all back together again and recalling, remembering, having a coherence about what we're doing with why we're doing it. I think that has real significance, whoever you are sitting in this church today. Whether you're the town mayor or the deputy mayor, or whether you're a councillor, an elected councillor, or an official, or a volunteer, or a church member, or just here today for some other reason. Why do you do what you do? Remembering. All of us, whatever our political hue or opinions, all of us, whatever kind of beliefs that we might have about faith, all of us need one another, and actually, I would argue, need God. Honestly, I really don't know how I would get through life without God. In this church, we remember Christ's love and his lordship, the way that he died for us and forgives us. We also need to remember the past and bring the past into the present. Remembering what's happened in the past, learning those lessons from the past, bring that information, the things that we remember, into the present to help inform us making good decisions in the present. Being aware that there's more than just the moment. Remembering, bringing together in a coherence what we already know with new information. As we hit a task or a decision or a particular thorny problem, remembering what it is that we already know about that and bringing that to bear in terms of our experience as well as our knowledge. Remembering our mistakes and the errors that we've made, the things that we've actually felt a bit embarrassed to tell other people about. And remembering those and staying humble in the moment, especially when we think that we're right and everybody else is wrong. Remembering that with humility and not making those kinds of mistakes again. Remembering how we've needed patience. I mean, not patience with other people, but other people's patience with us and forgiveness from time to time. And having that inform the way we relate to others. That, I think, is for all of us. And there's a way there of bringing God into the mix of that. That means that we can be both bold and effective, but also humble and open. I want to particularly talk to the politicians here, seeing as I've got you as an audience. I mean, how often does that happen? And I want to suggest that there might be some things that you might want to remember from time to time in the midst of the hurly-burly and business of all. Because I do know, having talked to some of you, that how busy your life is. How extraordinarily busy you are. You've got your day job, you've got your counsellor work, and you've got families and friends and other duties and all kinds of things. But so therefore, remembering in the midst of that business why you came into politics in the first place. I remember that. Why did you do it? Why are you doing this thing? Remembering what you really believe in, especially when it comes to decisions where there's, you know, things that might be kind of useful decisions to make, utility kind of decisions, I suppose. What is it that you actually believe in? What are your values? What really stirs your heart and passion? How far might you have lost that? And is it important to get that vision back? And remembering that politicians of a different persuasion actually can have integrity too. I know, amazing, isn't it? The other, on the other side of the chamber, they actually might be there because they have integrity and belief and vision and passion as well. There's a friend of mine who was talking about some research that was done that actually said that within us, within each person, there are kind of two tendencies that we have. But some people have more of one than the other. Some people lean more one way or the other. And this is a kind of a medical thing. It's like how we're hardwired in our brains. Because, of course, we're not people in isolation. We're people in community. But some people, well, we all have these tendencies. There is a part of us that understands that justice is about no one else being left behind. You don't want to leave anybody behind. You want to serve the community. That the us together is what's important. We must make sure that everybody is safe and well and has what they need. All should be provided for. There's that part of all of us. And then there's that other part of us that believes that justice is about opportunity and freedom. And being true to oneself as an individual and fulfilling one's potential. That oppression is about stopping that happening, and that justice is about everyone being free to excel as the individuals they are. And it might be that if you have a really big dose of one of those perspectives rather than the other, you might even end up in different political parties. The point is that both of those things are important. Remembering that sometimes you've got to try and sit with how someone else might be seeing a problem to see where it's possible that there might be some places where you might actually meet in the middle there. I think it's a really interesting piece of information. I think it's begun to change my perspective because I lean towards one of those. I won't tell you which one it is, but I do. But it's important to understand that just because someone doesn't see things the way we see things, they're not a bad person, unlike what you might think from the trolling that goes on Facebook and Instagram. Remembering that others can see important truths that you don't see, even when their perspective is very close to yours. Remembering who it is that you're there to serve. And by the way, that is important for anybody here sitting here. Who are you on this earth to serve, I might ask? That's not just for vicars and politicians. That's for us all. Pray, love, remember. That's remembering. Loving. Love. Love is at the heart, of course, of what the Christian gospel is about. And the Christian gospel calls everyone to find that place within in themselves to love. The problem with the English language is that we have one word love for different kinds of ideas, which gave rise, I think, to my daughter's very, very first joke. Right? She was about six, I guess, and she came home from school and she says, "Daddy, Daddy, do you love ice cream?" And I said, "Yes, Emily, I love ice cream." She said, "Why don't you marry it then?" And ran off giggling, as six-year-olds do. Yeah, I love ice cream. I love my daughter. Very different kinds of love, aren't there? But some cultures have a different word for each of those ideas. There's another kind of love, which is about friendship. Another different love, which is about passion. I'm not asking you to be passionately in love with everyone you serve, or utilize them for your own well-being, like you would ice cream, or even be friends with them. There's another kind of love which Jesus talks about, which is about a kind of dispassionate love. It's about asking yourself, what is the most loving thing to do in this situation? It's about serving others and giving of yourself to another. It's that kind of love which Jesus calls us to primarily, and that kind of love which we need to find in order to make our community cohere properly. It's even something that politicians can do, honestly. It's amazing when it happens. What does it look like, though? What does the loving thing to do in any situation actually look like? And that's a really difficult decision to make. It's a really difficult question to answer. And I can't give an answer because it's contingent on the situation, on the personalities involved, the kind of resources you've got, and what you've got to achieve. But it's an important question to actually ask. In this tough situation, where I've got to make something happen, and other people don't want me to, and there are limited resources, what actually does it look like? What does the loving thing to do look like? Now, sometimes it's about being nice, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it might be about the place of honesty and truth, even when it hurts you or others. Sometimes the loving thing to do is the scalpel. Sometimes the loving thing to do is about how resources should be distributed for the greatest benefit and impact. Problem with that is you got to take some things away from some people to give them to others. I really feel for you when you have to make those kinds of decisions. But what is the most loving thing to do as you make that decision? Perhaps that could be something that you could all agree on. That's something important to hold on to. Sometimes the loving thing to do is resisting corruption, resisting dishonesty, resisting the tendency to manipulate and use power wrongly. That takes strength, sometimes belligerence. That's the loving thing to do. Sometimes the loving thing to do is according people respect and compassion, even, maybe especially, when you disagree with them. to see the humanity in somebody who disagrees with you, rather than dehumanizing them and thinking that all they are is the opinion they've posted. It's remembering that there's a reason why somebody has said something. They might be wrong, but they're still people. And they have, and respect might be arguing cogently to try to persuade, rather than just dismissing. Sometimes the loving thing to do is to champion vigorously what you genuinely believe in, have passion for, and have vision for. But sometimes it's actually about being nice. Yeah. Praying. Should we pray? Do we pray? Sometimes some of us, I think, for whom God is a part of our daily life, wouldn't know how to get through the day without praying. It's just like, I have to pray. I mean, I just can't not, because I feel I've come to the end of my own resources. Or there's somebody that I care about and I can't do anything for them. What else can I do but pray? But praying, what might you pray for? And this is for everybody, I think. We can pray for ourselves. It's not wrong to pray for ourselves. Pray for yourself, for strength and energy. And I want to put humility and humour together, because it's really difficult to have a sense of humour without being slightly self-deprecating, isn't it? To know actually that you don't take yourself too seriously. It's really easy to do that, become pompous. But to have humour and humility. For integrity and courage. Let's pray for ourselves. We pray for our colleagues as well, or those that we work with, or those that are like us, depending on your situation. The ones that we rub along with well and want to do stuff with. The creativity and innovation and partnership and wisdom. So we can build something good in our lives in cooperation with others who share our vision and our values. And pray for our opponents, whoever they might be. There might just be people who just don't like us. Or there might be people in the same family who just never get on with. Or there might be in-laws that hate the way you bring up their grandchildren. Or it might be political opponents. Could be anyone, really. But those who are set against you in some way. We have them. All of us have them. Praying for, and I think here, the ability to hear and be heard. Those people need to be heard. But they also need to hear us as well. So it's about communication and taking the time to help that happen. Praying for that. Praying for those we serve in different ways to make good choices, that they might make good choices and take opportunities to make a difference. And finally, praying for our partners, our family, and our friends. Praying for them for patience with you, understanding of you, especially if you're as busy as I know counsellors can be. So, there's rosemary. Actually, I've got some in the vestry. I meant to have some here to show you, so you could smell it as you go out, but I haven't got it here. But anyway, when you can, get some rosemary, smell it. Rosemary for remembrance. Pray, love, remember. Amen.